Welcome to Saimu Series, a podcast about mental health. We will touch on popular topics and insights from professionals from Saimud.
Hi, everyone. This is Sally from Saimud, and this is Saimud Podcast. Welcome, and I have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Corel Richards. And Corel, hi.
Hello, Sally.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, you shouldn't give me this opportunity. I could be talking all day. But I'll keep it short. As you mentioned, my name is Corel, and I am a transformation catalyst and hypnotherapist. And I specialize in making the impossible possible. The topic today will really give you a sense of what that means, especially when you've tried everything. I'm the person that most people are gravitating to. I'm probably like the last person that they'll come to because they know at this point the situation will be resolved. You know, by just simply diving into and reshaping some of those unconscious beliefs that you have, you're able to turn your dream into a reality when you work with me. And I've been doing this for the last 2 years, I might say, and it has been a ride. A roller coaster ride, I'll say. But it's been amazing because the lives that have been transformed, women predominantly is who I work with, but it has been so exciting to see just that heavy burden released from them that I figured, you know what? Let's dive into a conversation with Saimud.
I love it. And today we'll be talking about chronic pain and emotional trauma. I'm super excited about this topic. What is chronic pain?
In simple terms, chronic pain, as the word suggests, is persistent pain. And of course, our conversation today will be based on the aspect coming from the emotional side. So most times, chronic pain is spoken about from the physical element, but today's conversation will be more along the lines of that emotional standpoint, because most people are unaware that pain is actually coming from an emotional standpoint before it even became physical.
Like, how would you know that you're experiencing, like, emotional trauma? Like, does it, like, would it affect the body? Like, I know, like, you mentioned mentally, and I could kind of imagine that. Like, how would you feel it?
You know, that's a very tricky question. And here's why it's tricky. It's because most people are unaware of them even experience an emotional trauma or emotional pain. They just know that they're experiencing this experience and it doesn't feel good. It's essentially causing them to go into fight or flight. So it's not necessarily them going into fight or flight that's causing the trauma, because everybody's going to experience fight or flight at some point in their life. But it's the decision that you make at that point that dictates if it's a trauma. The decision meaning what you make that mean about you, as opposed to saying, hey, you know what? This is happening. It's not necessarily because of me, or it doesn't mean something about me. It's just something that's happening. Most individuals, in fact, I'll go as far as say 95% of people will respond to say, this means something about me. And ultimately it gets to a space where they feel unsafe.
Whoa. Like, what would it be, kind of similar to like a PTSD,
It's a response, right? It's also sometimes called a coping mechanism, or even your personality. As it relates to the response, it's what do you decide to do at that point? So you're walking along the street and a dog passes, and somehow the dog this time decides to bark at you or bite at you. Sometimes what happens is that the body holds on to that event. Before it even holds on to that event, it has a psychological response. And that psychological response, your body responds to it because it's saying, hey, you are unsafe right now. There is a threat. And because there is a threat, there's something that you need to do. What I would suggest in that moment is to just take a deep breath. And if you have to run, you run. If you have to stay still, you stay still. But depending on the decision that you make, 10 years down the road, you could have those flashbacks, you know, those triggers that remind you of that incident and you're responding from that standpoint without the information that you probably have right now, not recognizing that you are living based on that experience instead of what's actually happening in the present moment.
I'm like, you just brought me to like a moment where like I'm just imagining myself like seeing like a terrifying dog and then you're like breathe or run, and I think in my head I could just imagine like all the fight and flight in my head, and I'm like, ah, what am I supposed to do?
You know, it's a normal response because it's just how our body responds to it, right? The amygdala at that point is activated, and once the amygdala is activated, your prefrontal cortex is basically what at that point takes over. It's that what they call, what do they call it? The, can't remember the name, but it's a lesser version of your brain. So you're not thinking logically, right? You're moving away. So the reptilian brain, there we go. Mm-hmm. You're moving away from logics and you're responding from an emotional state. So once the amygdala is activated, you're not necessarily yourself, is how I look at it. You're not necessarily yourself, so you're making sometimes irrational decisions.
Wow. So like in that moment, I guess like you need to learn how to train yourself, or like how would you like kind of like let's place ourselves in that moment of like,
yeah,
the fight or flight of seeing a dog. Like what, like I know you said take a breath and everything, but like
pause.
And everything. How long does it take? Like, I know like talking to somebody like yourself will be a great first step to like kind of experience, like kind of minimize those kind of trauma and everything. But
yeah,
like typically, like how long does it take for a person to kind of like reduce those kind of emotional traumas?
That's a very good question. And here's why. It's very subjective, especially because it's not like we just dropped onto this planet and we're adults, right? Over a period of time, we've had multiple experiences that have told us that we need to be in fight or flight. We need to be very hypersensitive to the things that are happening around us. And if that means that you're always on guard, you're hypervigilant, for me to just say it's going to take a week, that would be a farce, right? So it depends on the individual that is sitting in front of me to, one, recognize that your nervous system is just at this point dysregulated. It's very much sensitive, in fact, hypersensitive, to the point that, and this is also an experience that I've had, you know, I grew up in a very chaotic world. And as a result of growing up in a chaotic world and as someone that was already sensitive, I'm very much the person that knows, sees everything happening around me before probably 90% of the world does. And that allows for you, yes, it takes a lot of energy. Yes, it makes you aware of what's happening, but it's also preventing you from being present. You're losing out on the opportunity to be fulfilled in life because you're so focused on everything else instead of actually being present and in the moment and enjoying life and being fulfilled, right? So that's where the dreams become a reality because you're no longer living in the past or responding from what has happened in the past. You are now going from what's happening right now. And it takes a while for some people. It's the truth, because you're now healing your nervous system. You're giving it permission to say, okay, I'm okay. I can just breathe. The story that I'm telling myself, it may have been true back then, but today, is it true? It's asking yourself that question and recognizing that if it's not true today, then you don't have to respond the same way.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like I was trying to think, like, as a person who is like experiencing like kind of pain and like trauma, like emotional trauma, like who diagnoses that? Like, how do you know that, like, one, like, do you talk to your doctor? Would we talk to somebody like yourself, like a therapist? Yeah. Like, how would we diagnose this issue? That, like, what if I'm going through the steps of, like, for example, the, like, we'll go back to the scary dog thing. Like, how would we know, like, that's actually what we are feeling? Like, how do we diagnose that? Like, not saying we should self-diagnose that, but, like,
right,
what is the first steps to know that this is, like, something that we should further look into?
Great question. I don't think there is one answer for this question. Again, it's very much based on the individual, especially because some people know themselves more than others know them. I think that doctors, therapists, professionals are limited with the information, just as how we're limited. So it's finding a balance, right? If you find that the experience is continuous, if you find that it is preventing you from actually living and you're just essentially existing, if you find that you're just not able to even cope with life altogether, you will know. Like I always, with the clients that I work with, I tell them, I said, I'm not giving you any information that you don't already know. It's just probably buried. I'm just facilitating you figuring things out on your own. And we have this thing in our psyche where we question the things that we know and if we really know it. And I'm just there to reinforce that you are very much powerful. You're more powerful than the world wants to tell you. You're more empowered than the world wants to tell you. It's just that you have to sit in that. And it may be a little bit uncomfortable for a lot of people, but it is possible. And that is why I'm able to go from the impossible to possible, because you rewire your mind to think differently, because your thoughts really dictate how you are perceiving life.
That is so wonderful what you have said there. I guess like the truth is like, yeah, if you notice that you're a person that, like you said, it's just affecting your life and then you want to do something about it, yeah, it would be great to like kind of like talk to somebody like a professional like yourself, Carol. And then it's because like, what if like it might, after talking to somebody like a therapist like yourself, it's like then you will notice that this is like related, like all your chronic pain that you're feeling could be from like emotional trauma that you had before, or maybe the anxiety, that the fear of like not knowing, that going through the steps that you're not sure that, like for example, like flying on an airplane, maybe some people are so scared about it, and like it would be great to just talk to somebody to kind of go through steps of like going through those issues and everything. Yeah.
They're like a sounding board, right? And I think because I'm such a realistic person, I'm such a realist, I can't sit here and pretend that we don't all have issues. Even myself, you know, I'm going through it day by day, but what I'm doing is I'm being honest with myself. I think self-deception is the one thing that is holding a lot of people back. You don't want to admit that you have a problem. And if you don't admit and acknowledge that you have a problem, you're going to stay exactly where you are, exactly where you are. And it's, I believe what I'm doing currently is to give an understanding of really what's happening. And once you have that understanding, you have that power to make that choice that moves you towards where you actually want to be. Because who really wants to live with pain? Who really wants to, right? You already feel unheard. You already feel unseen. You already feel misunderstood. So if you can get to the point where you understand what's going on within you, because I'm going to be honest, nobody's coming to save you. Mm-hmm. Nobody's coming to save you. So you have to make that conscious decision to be like, I don't want to live with this anymore. Yes, I'm going to go through a very slippery slope, a very rocky road. It's going to hurt a little bit. But it's going to hurt just then. It's not going to hurt for the 10, 20, 30 years that you've already missed out on so many situations, so many experiences. It stops today. It stops today. And that's where you have the power to make that decision.
That is so powerful. I guess for a person to notice that they're going through suffering and just like stress and probably depression, because if you're not doing what the things that you want to do to, you know, experience life, like that, you have to kind of take that step and notice that, yes, you could try to change this by going to therapy and going through challenging these thoughts.
Like, challenge it, because you've been living like this for so long. And in researching, in experiencing the clients that I've been working with for the last 2 years, you'd be so surprised how this pain is created by the person sitting in front of me. It was created as a way to be seen. It was created as a way to be understood, to be taken care of, essentially, because they couldn't take care of themselves. So, and I know this is our minds trying to just do us a solid, you know, for us to feel safe. But maybe it did make you feel safe back then. I won't even push that away. It did. But today, is it doing that for you? And it's figuring out what role it's playing for you today. And if it's an outdated role, get rid of it. Just like how you were able to create it, you are able to get rid of it. I promise you. I promise you. You have to just be ready for that. So my question is, are you ready?
I love that. Yeah, that is so true. Like I was like thinking like another example of like what somebody might be going through is like, I know we just went through the pandemic, and I know a lot of people like had stresses and trauma and just worried about going outside, and maybe they even had like the depression and the stress could have been probably in their dreams. Like they could have vivid dreams of like this recurring nightmare of trauma and everything. Like I guess like that could be like an indication of like this is something more extreme than what it is, right?
Yeah. You know, you're coming out with those questions today, man. Really good questions. I have a very great relationship as it relates to dreams because I'm a dreamer, right? My connection to dreams, and this is only from my perspective. I'm not really sure how it is from others. From my perspective, dreams are connected to your subconscious, right? We are very visual. And for whatever reason, when I get a dream, I know it has a significant meaning. And I might not get it right away, but over time, it's signifying to me something that is going on in my conscious state that maybe I haven't dealt with, maybe I need to deal with, maybe I've already passed and I'm just looking at it from a perspective that might be different from how I've been looking at it. So what I would say as it relates to that, it is quite possible. Again, it's very much subjective. One thing I would suggest is to at least have an open mind, have a very open mind to what shows up. In Jamaica, they say dreams aren't necessarily straight, which means it's never I won't say never. It's sometimes not what it seems to be. There is a way that you have to kind of look at it from a different perspective and perceive it differently in order to get what you really need from that vivid dream.
That's what I have heard like so many like that kind of to try to put yourself as an outdoor a person that is like looking into,
right, like, right. Just so you're kind not of, in it, right? Because you know, like when you're in it, you're so flooded with the feelings, the emotions that you can't think objectively. So it gives you the chance to remove yourself from the situation and allow yourself to see it objectively and what it could mean and how it applies to your life. Dreams, love them. Sometimes I wish I wasn't dreaming as much though, because I want to sleep.
Yeah, I'm a vivid dreamer myself, and I dreamed a wildest dream. I could tell you the colors, and it's pretty crazy. Like, yeah, my dreams could be so lucid that I feel like I could be in a different dimension or something.
Yeah. But
this is not about me.
Know me for that too. They're like, I'll give them a call and say, hey, I dreamt about you last night, and I'll tell them the details. And they're like, that's a little creepy, Kurt. Like, how did you know this was happening? And I've even had experiences for myself. Like, I was in a relationship last year, and I dreamt about my partner at the time that he left me. And I told him the next day when I woke up, I was like, I dreamt that you left me. And months later, I mean, he didn't leave me, but I decided to walk away from the relationship because it was time to walk away, right? And I think these are just signs, sometimes signals to us that our body already knows. Subconsciously, we already know that this situation is dead in the water and we just aren't listening. So it says, okay, I'll get you when you're sleeping.
That's it, right? When we're most vulnerable.
Exactly.
Like, oh my goodness, that's so funny. But yeah, like, so I guess other than finding these key points of your life, like noticing that you might be having like feeling aches and pains, you might be feeling depressed, anxiety, like maybe you have some stomach issues, like you don't want to go outside, you don't want to go or down the block because of some sort of thing. Like, what sort of solutions to kind of, would you, I know you brought some solutions up to like kind of block these negative things, like to say, like what else can somebody do to kind of like, if they're noticing that, oh, this sounds kind of like me, what should they do?
I mean, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you to contact me.
Oh, I love that. It's so true.
I'm going to tell you to contact me and then we'll figure out if we're a good fit for each other. But outside of contacting a professional like myself or any other therapist, I am someone that promotes, I don't want to call it self-sufficiency, but I want to say, ask yourself, like you already know. Like there is a trust element that will take place. Of course, you have to be able to trust yourself and understand that you already know what's going on with you. You might not have all the information, but it's trusting yourself enough to ask the right questions. And this is the kicker, and accept the answer that comes. Sometimes the answer that is going to come is not one that you want to hear. It is not going to be one that sits well with you. Your ego is going to want to fight it. Your ego is going to want to tell you that's not true. But if you're becoming defensive, that's always, in my opinion, a sign for you to start looking a little bit deeper into that, because your soul, your heart, love doesn't just block something without understanding, right? So if loving yourself, it's then questioning. Okay, so this came. Let's examine it a little bit more. Let's see what part of it is truth, because sometimes it's not full truth. Sometimes it's half truth. So take what you need and throw away the rest. Like I'll say, keep the meat and throw away the
Love that. Keep the meat and throw away the bone. Love it. No, it is so true because I was like thinking I just thought about like this could totally relate to anyone who's like even experiencing like some medical issue. Like what if they found a bump in their skin or something, or or they don't know what it is, and then that anxiety and they're like kind of like worried about it, and then like you said, it's like it's up to the person to kind of figure out like, oh, maybe, if you're ignoring it so much, maybe it's something that you have to kind of work on, because like in reality at the end, if when you go check it out, it could be nothing
It could be
or it could
nothing.
be something, but
Yeah,
you
we're afraid of the
want to know.
answer. Most of the time, we're afraid of the answer, so we're not willing to examine it. Marissa Peer is who developed the process that I use to do what I do. She once said, and hopefully I say it the way that she says it, and if not, it's pretty much the same. It's where your body isn't given the opportunity, or where you're not able to release those painful moments. What will happen is that your body will respond. So where you're not able to release the tears, the pain, your body will respond for you because it has to go. So if you're not doing it through tears, if you're not doing it through reconciling and, releasing it through however process you actually are aware of, your body is going to respond. It is going to respond. And sometimes it's doing it to protect you, to get you attention. And sometimes it's also sabotaging you. And that's the tricky part, is knowing exactly why it's doing it. It wants to sabotage you because maybe it thinks that you're bad, or you think that you're bad. So this is what you deserve. And then there are times where it actually is working for you. It's saying, hey, I want to protect you from this. Hey, I don't want you to do this. So I'll give you this so you don't have to do it. This is your excuse out. It's a way to speak up for you, essentially. So you have to figure out again what it is for you, because it's never going to be the same for everybody that walks this planet.
That is so true. Like what you just said is so true. It's so true. No, because I was like trying to I keep going back to like just thinking about going through some sort of trauma, and if you don't deal with it, yeah, your body will let you know somehow. And and if it's not like physical, it could be emotional. And if you don't, if you're holding back the emotions, it's gonna affect you some other way.
There, you know what? You can only avoid it for so long. You know, you can only avoid it for so long. And at some point it's just gonna show up. And sometimes it shows up at the most random times, and you're like, what the hell is going on here? As someone that has experienced panic attacks often in my childhood, and maybe I'm stretching it by saying often, but often enough, it comes along when you least expect it. When you least expect it. And it's not fun, because you're, say, I was in the middle of an exam at first, and I'm doing well, and I'm like, yes, I'm about to pass, yes, yes, yes. And boom, there it is, saying that, oh, your mind is stressed, so we are going to have you calm it down by removing you from this exam. I was okay.
That sounds so like stressful for me. I'm like, I want to give you a hug.
You know what? Thankfully, the invigilators were there to help me breathe through it, to release it. Went back to the exam, did well nonetheless, but I could have done without that panic attack if you ask me.
Yeah, but it's like, not welcome right now. Hello, like, I'm already stressed out. I'm going to ace this test, but nope. Thank you very much. Like, you can walk away, but you came.
Thanks. Exactly. I wasn't stressed about the exam. I was stressed about things that were happening outside of the current situation. And that's how chronic pain just comes about, because it feels like it. It's like, okay, I'm sensing that you need my help right now. I'm sensing that I need to sabotage you right now. I think it's my time to show up.
It's such an amazing thing how our brain works, because like what you say, like, you know, like when it's so interesting, because I'm thinking like maybe your brain knew that you're focusing on one thing, and it's just like, oh, I feel lonely. Let me come and bother you for a second. Interject, because you know your mind has been in chaos for so long that you're actually focusing on one goal, which is great, but I'm kind of lonely. Let me just kind
of... We need you somewhere else. Like, yeah. I'm like, no, this is not the time.
Yeah, I was like, no, this is, you're not invited right now.
It's like, you know, and it's funny, because I think that's what has happened in terms of chronic pain, is that the pain now thinks that it runs the show, right? And the truth is, we are the ones that run the show. We just don't know that. We don't know that we are supposed to tell our mind what it is that we need, and it's supposed to listen. But what we are doing is telling it things that we don't want right now, you know, and it's because the body, like we know, it holds a score, right? It holds memories. It holds what has happened in the past. And it's saying, okay, well, the last time you felt like this, this is what you needed, so I'm gonna give that to you. And I'm like, no, I don't need that right now. You know, so it's just questioning and catching yourself and saying, hey, because even last week I can tell you I could feel a panic attack coming along, and I'm like, look, I don't need you today, okay? So I'm gonna sit, I'm gonna breathe, I'm gonna take some time to just relax my nervous system. Did some meditation. I'm a fan of yoga nidra, and it just works on your parasympathetic nervous system. And yeah, it's top notch for me. And by that, I was able to just breathe through the day, and I didn't have that panic attack, because I was in control of my mind, my body, instead of it being in control of me.
That is like so important, right? Like when you, like you said, like when chronic pain thinks that they're the leader. And then you're like teaching your brain how to say, hey, no, I see you.
Yeah.
You're not welcome. I'm going to just try to work through this in a calm way without feeding into that fear that
yeah
that mindset that you don't want to go into, and then
yeah, and it's having a conversation with yourself, right? I know for a very long time most of us were told that talking to yourself means that you're crazy. That was the worst advice someone could give to you.
I agree.
Talking to yourself is the best thing that you could ever do for self. Because who knows you better than you, right? And if you know what you need, and I hope to God that you do know what you need, then you can give yourself what you need. And I think because the chronic pain is doing something for you, you are now responsible for doing that for yourself. So it no longer has a role in your life. I've seen where it's not willing to release itself or to remove itself from you because it doesn't trust that you can do it for yourself. So it doesn't trust that you can speak up. It doesn't trust that you'll say no. It doesn't trust that you have boundaries. So until you have those, it's like, nope, I'm going to be here to stay. And I'm going to stay here until you figure out how to have boundaries, how to speak up for yourself. But you have to tell it. You have to tell it that I'm capable. I'm very capable of taking care of myself. I don't need you anymore. And you can thank it. Thank it for all that it has done for you, but it doesn't have room anymore in your life.
That is the most important, right? It's just to kind of give it space that you know that you're there. It's like a bully, right? You're like, you know, I know you're there.
Yeah.
But not right now. I don't need you. You're not giving me anything good.
Yeah.
And you're not helping the situation. You're not making my life better.
There you go. And if you know that it's not making your life better, give it permission to leave. Give it permission to leave. And that's actually an example of what I do throughout the sessions, is that we legitimately sit and have a conversation with it, because it's not going to just up and leave. It's been running the show all these years.
It's
going to fight you. It's going to say, hey, I don't trust you. Nope. And it just needs to know that it's safe, which means it needs to know that you're safe. It just needs to know that you're going to do what you need to do for yourself in this crazy world. Because especially if you're one of those sensitive individuals like myself, you are going to need boundaries. You know, you empaths out there, I get it. Yeah, we can feel it, but we don't have to feel it. We have a choice, right? And it's taking responsibility for your life and deciding what you want to feel, what is your responsibility to feel, and deciding if you want to or if you don't want to. It's that simple.
I love that, and I love your positivity and your energy about this, Carl. It's so nice, and I hope everybody out there feels the same way. If you do feel any chronic pain, emotional trauma, anything, you need to speak about, like, if you don't know that what you're feeling is what it is, maybe it's something different, we don't know. But if you do want to talk to anyone, please contact Coral. She's amazing, as you have heard, and she is available on SciMood. And we hope you enjoyed this session with us, and we hope to see Coral back again at the podcast.
I hope so. That would be wonderful.
Thank you again, Coral. It was so lovely to speak with you.
Awesome. I'm happy that I was able to show up today. Thank you.
Thank you. SciMood is an online mental health platform that connects you with mental health specialists who speaks your language and understand your culture. You can find us at our website at SciMood.com and on our social media channels on Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn at MySciMood. Don't forget to follow, like, and share, and comment. Thank you for existing.